Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. I hope you had a wonderful weekend, and I'm so glad you're here for another trip report to start the week. We head out to Hawaii today, Mele Kalikimaka, right? Catherine joins us from out in the islands to talk about her trip with her grown children down to Walt Disney World last month to celebrate Thanksgiving. Her kids came down, met them at Walt Disney World. They stayed at Copper Creek. They also stayed at the Riviera, did a nice split stay. Lots of great dining, California Grill, Raglan Road, City Works, Homecoming. And they talk about going to all the parks, even over to Universal. Lots of great information packed into one quick show. Don't forget today's show brought to you by Three Sources, The Magic for Less Travel. Check out all the great free services they can offer you today over at themagicforless.com. Our Amazon affiliate link, please use that as often as you can. It's a free way to support the show, and it helps out so much during the holiday season. Just click through brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a shout out to our patrons. You guys are carrying the show while travel is down, and I thank you so very much for that. If you'd like to become a patron and get some extra content like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1815 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you and aloha to all of our listeners, because today we have a special guest. I'm so excited. Now, I've got to meet listeners from Hawaii. My good friend George Shaka cruised with us on one of the Be Our Guest podcast cruises. I learned a lot about Hawaii. He sent me all kinds of coffee, and the sign that I have behind me here in the basement that says aloha with some lizards. It's one of my favorite things in the world. But we have another listener we're going to talk to today from out in Hawaii. Even with a huge time difference, we're making it work. So Catherine is joining us from out in the islands. Catherine, aloha. How you doing today?
Great, Mike. Doing great. Yes, you're right. It's beautifully sunny. When people ask what the weather's like in Hawaii, I'm like, it's Hawaii. It's always about 80 degrees. It doesn't matter what time of year. It's great.
So let me ask you this, because I think most people in Hawaii are transplants, you know, from other parts of the world, other parts of the states. You're from the Midwest. You're actually from right across the river in O'Fallon, Illinois, which is, you know, you can basically almost see Busch Stadium from O'Fallon, Illinois. So it's, you know, 10, 15 minutes from downtown St. Louis, probably about 40 minutes from where I live in St. Charles. What's that culture adjustment like coming from the Midwest out to the islands?
Huge. I mean, I was used to those cornfields and those straight roads and flat and you know, the extreme colds of the, you know, really hot and then that really below zero and black ice. So that part, it was really nice, the weather. That's definitely the biggest perk out here. But I do miss open spaces, because if you say you want to go for a drive, well, yeah, 30 minutes, and that's about all you got. And then you're done with the island. So
I say, you can go for a drive, but then after a while, your tires get wet, I guess.
Yeah. So that part. But yeah, no, it's like I said, that part is great. But there's, you know, there's goods and bads. The thing with the military, they let you experience all different places, all different cultures. And just by the way, like, for retirees, Hawaii is number one, but Scott Air Force Base in Illinois is number two.
Oh, nice.
So you got to appreciate that.
Yeah, I got a great picture of Scott Air Force Base flying down to Florida this past week. I used to be scared to fly, so now I always have to get a window seat, even if I have to pay the extra $40 to make sure I get on first with Southwest. And I'm videotaping the takeoff, and I'm taking pictures of the arch and Busch Stadium. And this time I got a nice one of the runways over at Scott. So that was really fun for me.
Yeah.
Can't miss it. It's in the middle of nowhere, and it's just a bunch of runways. So it's like, we're in Belleville, or, you know, around there. So let me ask you one other thing before we get into your trip. Is there one kind of thing that we don't talk about that people should visit maybe when they go to Hawaii where you are? Because I know people want to go see Pearl Harbor, and of course our fans want to go to Aulani. But is there kind of a hidden thing that you've discovered that maybe somebody would like to check out if you ever go over to the islands that we don't talk about?
Well, I think a lot of people don't. I mean, if you are into hikes and things like that, there are so many beautiful hikes to go on and a lot of World War II history, like Fort Island. You know, you can go around the island. I mean, and it's got something historical, because you can see Arizona is right next to it. U.S. Missouri, you know, is where they signed the end of the war. You can go up and climb up Diamond Head, and there's places called, they call them pillboxes, where they actually set up their artillery in World War II. You can climb into all those things and on the rocks and all the hikes. So yeah, if you're, like I said, into World War II history and into, you know, getting out there and being fit, it's definitely an outdoor place to go experience that. It's great.
Sounds good to me. All right, so let's head into your Disney trip that you guys took back just a few weeks back, you know, around Thanksgiving time. So, you know, right here in the holiday season. Tell us when you started planning it and you kind of had an opportunity to get to see your adult kids and it was kind of a family reunion down in Central Florida. How'd that all come together?
Yeah, well, just a little bit, you know, in terms of like, you know, you always fast folks, lots of trip reports I've watched, you know, how you got into Disney and, you know, and actually the first time I visited Disney World was 1975 as an 8-year-old. So, I mean, I remember riding Space Mountain, and back then, I don't think they had lap belts or anything to keep you in. So, because it was a little, I remember I being traumatized by it for a long time. But then we went back in 1999, just my husband and I. And then we started going in 2002 with the boys when they were only 3 and 6. And then from then on, we were just Disney fanatics. So, you know, at least every year we've done 7 Disney cruises. We probably stayed, I did a count, if you include the Swan, 18 of the resorts. Wow. In Disney World. We've, you know, stayed at Aulani. I think someone on your message board is going there. Aulani is amazing, absolutely beautiful. So, but I just find every time, and, you know, my boys, even though they're busy, my oldest is a police officer in Washington, D.C. It's been nonstop for him, obviously, with, you know, protests and things like that. So when and in August, when everything was, you know, COVID, you know, nightmares, for some reason, I said, you know what? And I'm a DVC member. We've been one since 2003. I said, let's see if we can go down there for Thanksgiving. So the three of us were booked. My youngest, he was just graduated college. And then I just mentioned to my older, I said, do you think there's any way you could get off, you know, and come down with us? And it was like, he didn't even think about it. He's like, Disney? Yeah, I'm there. So it was great that he was able to put some leave away and on the books and come down with us. So,
you know, I love hearing that because it gives you a chance for your family to come together because you're so distant, you know, and I think we're distant when, you know, I have my daughter, she's in Columbia, Missouri, 2 hours down the road. And it's like, yeah, it's hard to get together. But I mean, when you're literally, you know, on the other side of the planet, that is a challenge and a great place to get together because, you know, you get down there, you get to have some great meals, you get to have some fun experiences that y'all like. Now, how did you guys coordinate the planning? Because again, you didn't have any little kids to worry about, which kind of makes it nice, but more, you know, also it's kind of more challenging because you have folks with careers and, you know, full-time wives. So how was the planning? Like, did you guys use a lot of technology? Did you call each other a lot? What'd you do?
Well, and, you know, Disney's made it a little more, I mean, you know, kudos to them that they're open, but, you know, the 60-day dining, the no fast passes, the park reservations, because I made all those as, you know, as soon as I could, went and got my tickets. In fact, you know, usually I do the military salute tickets, but it was just too hard to even worry about it. I said, nope, I'm going full price. I want to get these booked. And when my son, and we had, you know, Hollywood Studios booked for the Friday after Thanksgiving. And when my son finally said, yeah, I can go, well, there were no more park reservations. And that was over 2 months out. So, and if you call, they're like, yep, we can't help you at all. The park reservation is very structured, however they've got it. So, but they said, when you get down here, see what you can do. And that's the first thing I did. As soon as I got there, I went to customer service, you know, DVC, one of the customer service areas in Disney Springs, and they managed to get my son in. So wow. He came with us to, yeah. So I was like, oh, thank you. You guys are wonderful, you know? So just, you know, normal Disney, hey, we'll do everything for you that we can. So, but no, I mean, and I'm a planner and they usually leave it to mom. They know mom, as long as mom checks off all the blocks of all the favorites that they want. The only thing that you'll see me, and it's a reoccurring nightmare, kind of just like it is for you, is the Rise of Resistance. Mm-hmm. That they got to figure out because that system's broken.
It's better now that you don't have to be in the theme park to get the reservation. You know, I got mine this past trip while I was out on a run. Before, you know, I got up early in the morning, went on my run. I set my watch at 6:55. Okay, beep, 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 beep. I stopped. Like, I remember I was down by the pirate rooms at Caribbean Beach, and I'm like, oh, no, I hope the cell service is good down here because I'm kind of distant. And then, you know, I got in, Scott got in. We were both going at the same time because we're linked together, and we got them. And then it was nice because, you know, then I could just go about my morning and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't tied to it. Ricky had the same
thing.
Exactly,
yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's, again, you know, we talked about this too, just, and we'll get into all your trip stuff, but you brought that up. So I got to bring up this point that we were kind of tied to the park that entire day once we got there, right? The park opened at 10. We got there at about 9:45. Park was open. you know, did our things. We had a boarding group of like 42, something like that. So we knew it'd be like, you know, 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. So, you know, we did all of our stuff, had our fun, you know, but the thing was, we never stay in a park from park opening to park closing, but we did that day because the ride was down. We didn't get on until about 3:30, so we weren't going to leave because we were scared, like, okay, well, it's going to come back up. We're going to have to go back and get back right here, you know, so it's one of those things, like, I mean, you know, first world problem, right, that we were at a theme park the entire day, but...
It changes how you normally would do things.
Right,
yeah.
Right. We would have taken a midday break. We didn't do that. But I mean, it was fine. The park hours weren't that long. But it is one of those things that, you know, we talk about how a lot of times folks are tied to the ADRs. You know, you're locked in on that. So that determines your theme park, what part of the park you might hang out in. You know, Rise really does that to you. But it's where I love the ride. I mean, don't get me wrong, but you're right. Yeah. There's some solution still, I think, that needs to be worked out.
Yeah, and you'll even see, like in my notes, I put, you know, where I went to a Disney cast member, said, okay, how do I not beat this system? But what do I do? Because then we were on trying to get on the 2 o'clock, and that didn't work either. So I don't know. But, you know, well, as we get into the park, we went to Universal Studios, and they have popular rides, and they use a virtual line technology where you scan the QR code, and then you try and board a group that's from 10 to 1 or whatever it is, and once they fill up, that seemed to work a lot better. So I don't know why Disney can't find something like that for the Rise.
Yeah, I know that they're asking questions on surveys, so I think that they're looking into
that. Yeah, Universal, that's what I say. Universal sent us a survey and specifically asked us, how do we compare to Disney, you know, in terms of, you know, getting the ride, all COVID, all of that, you know, all that stuff. That was very interesting for Universal to do.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about your stays. Now, you did a split stay, so you guys stayed at the Riviera and Copper Creek. So let's just kind of hit the highlights of both resorts first while we're in the resort area. So I stayed at the Riv. I got to stay at Caribbean Beach, so it's kind of a, you know, they're on the same campus. They share, you know, a running path, and you can get back and forth. I love the Riviera, and I especially love Primo Piatto. I'm still dreaming about that, but what were your thoughts of staying there?
Well, you know, I said, like, we've been, like I said, DVC members since 2003, but we actually sold our Animal Kingdom to become our Riviera DVC members. And I just love that resort. You know, I'm like Pam, I could live there for a year. I mean, if I was allowed to, I'd live there for a year. It's just such a different vibe. It's, you know, even though you know you're in Disney, it's not in your face. As soon as you walk in the lobby, it's just luxurious, but elegant. I mean, it even smells good. Yes. They must pump perfume or something in there because... And then the rooms, I mean, just the touches to the backsplash, to the carpets, to the paintings, and the rooms are giant. I mean, and you know, the parquet floors and the balconies, it's and of course, I mean, the Skyliner is just a no brainer there. That makes it even better. But just so pleasantly surprised, well, so happy with our purchase since we really did buy into it, you know, their membership. But yeah, it's just great. We loved it. The food, I mean, I wish I could have gotten to Topolino's. We couldn't get into that, but, you know, we certainly ate at the cafe and at Primo Piatto's. Yeah, you know, that one.
The breakfast sandwich is so good there. That ham and cheese with the egg on top. Oh, my gosh. I just keep thinking about
that. And blueberry pancakes.
Yes, as Scott had that. He raved. Now, one thing I will say, too, about the rooms at the Riviera was, and again, I know this is more popular, more common in DVC resorts, which I don't stay in a lot, is that they're super efficient, right? Like the bed I slept on that one night when I stayed with the gardeners the first night because I went down in the middle of the afternoon, like pulls out of the wall. You know, like there's actually art on the wall. You know, there's this cool picture of Beauty and the Beast looked like it was stained glass. I know it wasn't stained glass, but it looked in that style. Then you just pull on this handle. You don't even have to move the couch. The couch just disappears. There's a double bed. And then, you know, under the TV, you pull this other handle. And a twin bed pops out. I mean, you didn't even know it was there. You know, it's great.
No, it was great. You know, and it took four adults to try and figure out how you turn the damn light off in the bed. Because it was right inside the building. I think it was like the Peter Pan building or something. We're like, how do you turn the light off? I was almost going to call down and say, how do you turn the light off? So, I mean, obviously it's for children, not adults to figure out. I don't know.
That's okay. It took me two days to figure out how to work the elevators at Coronado Springs and the new tower. So it's all right.
Well, and I will say later on at Copper Creek, we were kind of nice. And at Copper Creek, we let my son, both sons actually have the big bed because we had another one bedroom and we slept on the couch, my husband and I. No. Riviera, the bed, you know, since it comes out of the wall, it's flat. So there's no creases like you get in a regular couch. But Copper Creek, no, that was a bad idea.
I slept like a log. Yeah, I slept fine at the one at the Riviera. It was fine. I was tired. I could sleep anywhere though. But yeah, it was super comfortable. Okay, let's talk Copper Creek. Okay, if you don't know, that's on the campus of the Wilderness Lodge, the new section there. You have Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek. You guys stayed there, so this is very, very new. Well, not as new as the Riviera, I guess, but you were at two of the newest resorts at Walt Disney World. So what were your thoughts over there? Very different feel.
Yeah, well, and that's why we did. I mean, I love Wilderness. We've been staying there since 2002. And, you know, I've stayed in Boulder Creek. And we thought, well, let's go to Copper Creek because it's newer. But maybe because, you know, just been the Riviera, the rooms were just much smaller from what we were, you know, had just come from. Now, of course, Wilderness itself is beautiful. The lot, just walking in. I've videoed just walking into that, right. The lodge there, because it's just so beautiful, the tree and everything. But I was kind of disappointed, you know, I didn't think near as nice of finishes and things like that as the Riviera. So it's going to be really hard. I'm kind of like your daughter. That's the only place I'm going to ever want to stay now. So, but we'll just see. We'll see what I can afford in the future. But you know, you can't, it's still Copper Creek. It's great because you're right there for the boat to Magic Kingdom. So that's certainly the best, you know, best perk of it right now. So
you did one of the things that I think is really, really smart, though, is that you had two different experiences at the resorts, but also, you know, if you say you're a huge fan of the Riviera, as I am now, and as Mallory just keeps asking me to stay there many times, where I don't think we're ever going to go down and stay at the Riviera for 7 nights. But I think what we might do is, you know, stay at Caribbean Beach for 5 nights and then do the last 2 nights at the Riviera or Pop mm-hmm. Century and then go to the Riviera, because, you know, it's a nice way to end the trip. It gives you something to look forward to as the trip starts to wind down. And, you know, in a couple nights, you can kind of get that full taste. You know, you can eat at the restaurants. Right. I haven't been to Topolino's either. Everybody else I think I know has. But, you know, there's still things to do. And I like that. So split stays like you did, I think, you know, kind of gives you like almost two vacation experiences in one. I mean, do you guys normally do splits?
Yeah, we do. We do it a lot. I mean, like, say, we stayed at Wilderness, but, you know, like Grand Floridian, when it first came out, the DVC, you know, we splurged there and then went somewhere else. But, you know, I think anytime there's just a new resort, we like to kind of check it out. We don't seem to have any favorite. Mm-hmm. So, that's why I guess we've had so many, because we're like, hey, well, let's try this one now. Let's do this one now. But that Skyliner, that is, as constantly said, is a game changer.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as it's working, because we went down there when it was first starting and it was broken. And then we had to take like the bus back, and it took us around the world, it seemed like, by the time we got back to our resort. So,
right. It's so funny because the deluxe resorts tend to have the worst bus service, which is so backwards. You know, the value resorts tend to have the best buses. So, it's a weird thing. But you're right. Skyliner's awesome because, you know, this past Sunday, when I was catching my flight home, I had to be on Magical Express at 2:45. I walked out of the International Gateway at 2:15 and still was able to pick up my luggage at Bell Services and get on my bus. That's how. Now, I don't recommend people cut it that close, but
Yeah, weren't you getting an eclair or something? I heard right.
Exactly, because I was going to leave at 2, and then there was a little bit of a line in the patisserie, so I was like, yeah, do I risk missing Magical Express for this eclair? Yes, I do, because I won't get a chance when I get home. So I made it.
Absolutely.
I made it barely with like 2 minutes to spare, but it was all good. Okay, so let's talk about time in the theme park. So you guys mentioned you guys like to go around and see everything. So we can't like hit every single, you know, day ride and all that stuff. But what are the highlights looking back a month later? What are the things you remember?
Well, you know, we had not been able to, you know, I like to go down. I usually like to wait until there's a couple new rides out. So obviously, well, I guess Epcot, that was our first day. So Epcot, all we did is eat. I mean, it was Thanksgiving, and I was kind of bummed because they announced the festival, the Christmas, all of that didn't start till the day after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't change our park reservations, because then you'd lose your Hollywood reservations and you weren't getting that back. So that's when you're like, dang, I wish, I really miss park hopping and things like that. But I think the only thing we all had like these things we wanted to do at Epcot, like for eating. Like I wanted my margarita and guacamole. Boys wanted their beer in Germany. My other son wanted his ramen in Japan. And then we all wanted a scotch egg and another beer in England. And this was all before Thanksgiving in France. So, because France was all I could get by the time 60 days, I mean, that was all that was left.
You know what, though? I've celebrated 2 Fourth of Julys at Chefs de France. It's so weird. I don't know why. It's because we're getting ADR so we can watch the fireworks. You know, in normal years, twice I've eaten there. In San Angel Inn, another 4th of July. I never eat at an American place on the 4th of July for some reason.
I really wanted to do their Regal Beagle, yes, the barbecue
it's
place.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
But you know, I mean, we knew, I mean, we did get to still ride Soarin'. Test track was down. But the one thing I had never ridden, I don't know how I've always missed it, was Figment. I had never ridden it. As many years as I've been going, I never knew there was even a ride in that building.
Huh.
So, and I've been in that building because that's where DVC Lounge is. But
yeah.
I mean, it was as corny, and I loved it. It was just so quintessential Disney, you know, it was great.
Well, you missed out on Captain EO then. That used to be the best ride ever until I took it back out, you know, the best.
Yeah,
show.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we did see that years and years ago. I mean, that's, you know, how long we've been going, you know? So, I mean, my kids are bummed, even though they're looking forward to Guardians of the Galaxy Rewind, you know, we loved Ellen in the Universe or whatever, you know, that was the great place. If you wanted to like sleep for 30 minutes in the cool, that's where you went, you know, on that big thing, and it's gone.
Yeah.
So our day of Epcot pretty much, like I said, was just eating and enjoying Thanksgiving. So, and then just, you know, coming back, you know, jumping on that Skyliner, and then you know, and the pools and stuff were just great at Riviera. And I think somebody mentioned the hot tubs. Their hot tubs are open.
I thought I saw people in hot tubs. Pam said they weren't, but I think they are because I saw people in them this past
week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely saw them. And in fact, just back to the to Wilderness or Copper Creek, the one night we went into the pool, there was the four of us. We were the only ones in the pool for like 30 minutes.
Oh,
the only ones. I mean, I'm like, this is what I want in my backyard, this size pool. This is awesome. So, but yeah, then we went on to, we wanted to get to bed early because we wanted to do that Rise of the Resistance nightmare that started at 7 a.m. But the next morning, but I found out that, you know, I thought my son and I were trying it from both of our phones, but we were using just my password and stuff. Don't do that. They said the system crashes against itself. If you got two people trying to do the same thing, you have to have totally different accounts if you're going to try it that way. So we didn't get passes that morning, obviously. So, but we headed to Hollywood, no rush. It said it opened at 10. But I think they open up like earlier just to start funneling people in to get the lines going.
Yeah.
So we specifically wanted to go there also for the new Mickey Mouse or the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Train. You know, and especially because we used to love the old ride. That's where my son, you know, got hooked on aliens and stuff, seeing that in the old ride. But I love the ride was great. I mean, all the line, I think people have said before, even though they'll say like an hour for a line, they're all about 20 minutes less than that. They seem to be, you know, I think try and scare you off. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I saw that consistently this past weekend too. You would wait probably, I would guess between 60 and 70% of the wait time ish.
Yeah. Yeah. The only one was I put later was the Snow White Mine Train. That one we definitely waited a long time, but otherwise the Mickey Mouse, I loved that ride. I mean, it was too short. I thought, you know, it just went, I'm like, God, this used to be a really long ride, but it's just eye candy. I mean, you're just like, I feel like a kid just watching all the stuff going on the screen and then dancing with Daisy Duck and stuff was just awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One, it was two, great. Three. One, two, three. You cannot not laugh in that room because it's genius because I guess it's like a dance studio with all the mirrors up front because you see like, you know, you'll see some dude that you can tell that guy is not a Disney fan, but here he is like in his car. Whoa, you know, he's going back and forth and it looks like he's dancing. I love watching the other cars in that room. I try not to give any spoilers, but yeah, it's a fun ride, but I agree. I mean, it is a lot quicker than great movie ride was like epic. It was long. It was an experience.
Yeah. So I don't know what they did with all these rooms. Cause I'm looking going, well, did this used to be where the city was? Is this where the, you know, the people swimming were? It was hard to tell, but they did a great job.
The gangster's going to pop out. Yeah. Go ahead.
We had already seen Star Wars Land, so we kind of knew, you know, what to expect. My husband had never been there, so him, when he first walks, you like to see someone else's reaction that's never seen it, and he was just like, you know, he just couldn't believe it, walking by, you know, these full-size, you know, X-Wing fighters and things like that. So, you know, he loved that. So we were able to ride Millennium Falcon, and because they're doing the social distancing, you know, we had a family of four, so we got the cockpit to ourselves. So the boys could finally be the pilots and, you know, and not complain when someone else wasn't doing it right because they were the ones doing it. I didn't think it was the same. COVID does have an impact, though, because, you know, obviously they limit how many people can go into a little market area.
Yeah.
So you don't get that same vibe that you did, you know, pre-COVID, because they're like, okay, only two people in the store. You know, you can't say, hey, this looks like a cool store. I think I'll go in. You know, you got a line, and sometimes you might wait 10 or 15 minutes to get into that store.
And then, you know, that's a good tip to throw to people that are going down here, you know, in this, you know, while this, you know, pandemic is still going on, and they have they call it physical distancing. Disney does. They've told me that. And so, you know, they have the physical distancing in place and capacity issues that you got to really kind of start to think that when you go to a store or go to a smaller common area that you may have to queue up just to get into that area. Cause you know, I'm used to, if I want to get, you know, a Coke Zero, I'll just run into a shop. And like, for example, right. The Riviera has a really small little gift shop. It's a nice little gift shop, but mm-hmm. I just want to grab, we were going over to the live show on Saturday, and I was going to grab three bottles of Coke Zero just to, you know, take with me over there to have at the table. And I had to queue up behind four people just to get in the store just to buy a couple of bottles of Coke. So, I mean, it wasn't a big deal. I was in, you know, 5 minutes I was in there, but it's just one of those things that, you know, like mouse gear, you got to queue up to get in mouse gear at Epcot. So you just got to,
Disney. Yeah. World of Disney totally. Was like 30 minutes. Oh my gosh. It was around the freaking Disney Springs. Yeah. Before you could get inside. But the good thing is that listening to the trip reports, listening to the listener, listening to everybody, we were prepared for that. I don't know if my family was as much as I was, but I already knew, okay, I'm going to have a line, but you know what? I'm in Disney World. I don't care.
That's what I said.
I mean, there was so many, you know, cause I'm as fanatical, I guess, as the people that listen to these podcasts. I watch somebody else just walking through the park on YouTube.
Yep.
You know, they're just walking around, not even saying anything, but I'm like, okay, but they're in Disney, you know, and it's just awesome. So I didn't care. I mean, I remember what I actually took the time, and I think that's because you don't have the fast passes, all that, in Epcot to sit and tell myself, I'm in Epcot. I am walking in Epcot. You know, I'm walking through Morocco, and I'm walking, and I'm like, you know, because I know next week I won't be doing this. So I am going to just savor every last minute. You know, I get with this. So, and I think we all did, all four of us, we really slowed down and just, you know, enjoyed the experience more than we probably ever did before.
But also what it does for you guys, I mean, celebrating Thanksgiving is you guys are physically all together and you're together in a place that you all really appreciate. You know, like it's different if you know, especially in 2020 where a lot of families, maybe you're going to Walt Disney World and you've been cooped up in the same house 24/7 since March. You're probably like, why don't you go over to the hotel and swim? I'm going to go to Epcot. Why don't you go up to, I'll be in World Showcase. You go to Future World. But I mean, I would imagine that, you know, especially because I know how it is, you know, Paige is now 24. And so we don't see her as much. So it's, you know, it is an opportunity to not only be in your favorite place, but to be with your kids when they get a little bit older and they get super busy. It's you know, you got to savor every minute you get. Yeah.
I mean, and for my son, you know, he works in, like I said, one of the most probably dangerous areas of Washington, D.C. And I'm like, could this be any further different from what you're used to, you know, or, you know, what you've been dealing with? And he's like, you know, it's perfect. He said, it was just what I needed. He probably needed a little longer, but by the second or third day, he was really starting to unwind and, you know, not think about work and things like that. So
it's good to hear.
So, and that's why I love Disney. I mean, as soon as you walk in, as soon as you go through those gates that say, you know, coming through the road, you're like, it's just,
yeah.
It's like everything just goes away. You're like, okay, this is it. I'm on vacation mode.
Yeah. Check your worries there for a few days and let's move on. Here, I do want to ask you about something. Cause you mentioned about going over to Universal because you guys are Harry Potter fans. So you kind of compared and contrasted that, but as a hardcore Disney fan, DVC member, you go to all the resorts and so forth. What was your experience? Like, how would you prepare somebody that wants to do the same? Harry Potter fan, maybe they've never been over to Islands to, you know, see the new Hagrid's motorcycle
ride. Right, yeah.
Like
so the thing is, you know, to get in an hour early to have their magic hours or whatever, it's similar. You have to stay on their resort. But the thing is, it was a minimum of 5 or 6 night stays. So you had to stay there to get that. So that's why, even though we got there super early, you know, the park had already been open an hour. But, you know, just you really got to be on top of it. Pay the preferred parking if you really want to make sure you're there on time. But I thought it was actually smoother getting in there than when it was pre-COVID. Universal, I was really pleasantly surprised. And as you get on the ride, they squirt sanitizer in your hand. Like Disney, they leave it kind of to your discretion, you know, hoping that you'll put it on before and after. But at Universal, oh, no, you're not getting on the ride till they squirt that stuff in your hand. So, you know, I mean, for me, it's just Harry Potter. That's all I wanted to do. We didn't even go to the other park, but I even gave up an Animal Kingdom day because I really wanted to ride that ride. But, yeah, it's definitely doable, but that's why we stayed, kind of closer right off Highway 4 so that we could get there, get what we needed done and then get out of there. and come back to our magical place. I always feel like it's like Disney's like my safe place. Like, I got to go back to the resort now. Let's get back there.
That's how I used to feel. We used to always have a beach day. We'd go to Cocoa Beach, the Space Coast, because I just love, like, you know, I'm a huge space nut, and, you know, Apollo, Mercury, Gemini programs, all that. I devour all those books, and I just like being there, you know, just like going down, you know, US-1 right there and just seeing the, you know, VAB across the causeway and stuff. Like, I just love going to Cocoa Beach. It's just awesome. But it was always that thing, you know, I go over there, but I was like, okay, well, it's 5 o'clock in the evening. Got to get back, you know, I got to get back inside that bubble, you know, been out of it too long.
It's a bubble because, you know, we did drive around. I can't remember where we went. Oh, we had to go get our COVID test because, of course, flying back to Hawaii, we have to have our COVID test. And I can only find one Walgreens, and even though it was in Kissimmee, it seemed like it was miles away, and really different once you start to get outside the areas, you know, outside Disney. You know, there's no more, you know, pretty palm trees and, you know, things like that. It's more
right, more
where the real people live. So
you got the Gator Inn and the helicopter rides for $15, which we saw on the way.
Yeah, and they were running too. There was quite a few of them up there running. They're back, you know. I mean, Orlando looked pretty darn busy. The freeways were busy again, so I'm really happy for the state, even though I know Disney's still laying off people. I'm really glad that the things are moving forward. So,
right. I told Scott, because we passed that helicopter place, they're $15 for a helicopter ride. I said, I'll pay 30 not to get on that helicopter. So I don't want to go in a helicopter. It's only $15.
Yeah, I recommend, since you're not a big flying fan, helicopters, you usually don't have as much luck. You're coming down when that thing comes down. So
yeah, they're not going to glide very much, I don't think. So yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things, and I know you guys have talked about, that I hope that they keep after, you know, COVID, like the way they're doing the parades or the cavalcades, whatever they are, because they're so random, right, and they're such a nice surprise now when you don't know they're coming. You know, I mean, we were waiting for our Liberty Tavern reservation, which I'd never been there, and it was amazing. I wish I could have had Thanksgiving there because, oh my gosh, that food was just amazing. But I think there was three or four that went through. Santa went through, all those went through while we were sitting there waiting, and yet it wasn't crowded because no one knew they were coming. So right, it was great. I saw Elsa twice. You know, I mean, it was great. Back in Epcot. So I think some of those things maybe Disney will keep, I hope.
I think so too. But what I saw this past weekend is that I think that, I don't know if it's just the holidays or if people are getting wiser to the cavalcades, because the longer they're around, there's more social media coverage of them, you know, blogs and vlogs and all that. But, you know, there were a couple times on Main Street where it was when Santa was coming down Main Street at the Magic Kingdom, and had the reindeer dancing in front, you know, and some elves, presents and stuff. Yep. And I mean, it was only like one or two floats, but the thing was, Santa was coming down Main Street USA. Like, everybody was like, whoosh, you know, to the sidewalks, and, you know, social distancing was semi-questionable for that couple of minutes. But it's one of those things that, you know, Disney can't, it's hard to, it's like a magnet, right? I mean, it's Santa Claus. It's Main Street USA. There's very few people that are going to be like, I don't want to see that. You know, like, it's just like, you are at Walt Disney World at the holidays. That is what you want to go get that picture to show, you know, show everybody you were there. So it's a challenge. But I think that it's also right now, everybody's so hungry for anything they can get that I think we're just, you know, it's like a moth to the flame. You know, it's like, oh, something cool. You know, I haven't got to see anything cool since March. And you're just like,
yeah.
So,
that's the one thing too. I mean, the people, I will say about the folks that are there though, they're mostly diehard Disney fans.
Right.
And they'll endure whatever it takes to be there. And everybody was very courteous and really respected the social distancing, you know, because they're like, hey, we don't want to break the rules because we don't want them to close down. We don't want something to happen and they close this place like they've done Hong Kong Disney, what, three times now. Right. So, and by the way, we've been to Hong Kong and we've been to Tokyo Disney because we're just that pathetic.
That's awesome. That's great. It's because
we've been to Marceline, Missouri. Have you been there?
Yes. I spent the night in the Uptown Theater in the bed and breakfast, and I got to operate the movie projector that Walt showed the great locomotive chase, or one of the movies he premiered there.
I mean, anybody who's a true Disney fan, and you can make that journey, it's worth it. Seeing the train station that he came off as a 5-year-old.
Yep.
And the lake and the house, the barn where he's, I mean, I swear that's the one place I really felt his presence. So I just wanted to put a shout out to Marceline, because as you know, the town's pretty sad
Yes. So, you're not going to see Walt Disney World when you get to Marceline. You're going to be like, this is it. I mean, I'm from Missouri, and I was like, this is it. I've seen small towns. I mean, this is
I think
small.
They had a Dairy Queen. Yeah, I think that was about it.
You had to go down the road about 10 minutes. Yeah, exactly. But I will say my favorite thing at Marceline real quick was that I got to sit under the Dreaming Tree because it did get knocked down a couple years after that. It's not there anymore.
Replanted it. They took a seedling from it and replanted it. Yeah.
Yeah, but I got the old dead one because it was dead at the time. I mean, it was on its way out. But yeah, I got my picture and I was like, God, Walt sat here. You know, like that was so cool. I mean,
that was the first time I got goosebumps ever. All the writing on the barn that everybody's, you know, got best wishes and thank you, Disney. I mean, I get choked up about thinking about it. So I really thank the man. I always wonder if he's looking down, how proud he must be to see what has spun off from his, you know, the idea in his brain. So
yeah, he's touched a lot of lives. I mean, definitely steered the direction of this kid from Missouri. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Okay, I want to hit, because you guys did some amazing dining, and I'm scared we're going to run out of time. Yes. So talk to us about some of the places you guys, you mentioned Liberty Tree. I agree, perfect Thanksgiving type meal. But you guys also went some really other cool places. So tell us about some of your favorites.
Well, you know, we've been to Homecoming now second time. My husband hadn't been there before, but, you know, based listening to you guys again, you know, we went and because those biscuits are to die for. And it's so weird because the waitress that assisted us, she went to the same high school as my boys. So small world. We always go to Raglan Road. We love, you know, the fish and chips and things like that. But one place I'd always wanted to go and reservations came up was California Grill. And it was just perfect. I mean, just the service, the view. Going out, having the sushi, I mean, it was wonderful. You know, we always try and hit Whispering Canyon. You know, it's always a bit corny, but it's still, you know, great food. And as long as obviously they're not passing around ketchup like they used to, because they don't want anybody to touch it anymore. You know, you don't get 20 ketchups at your table anymore. But I'm trying to think. California Grill, where else do we go?
It says City Works. I'm curious about that.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, I hate, because I'd heard so much about it. I don't know if you got a chance when you were down there, because I know you've been trying. But I wasn't as impressed with them. Maybe we just ordered the wrong things. You know, it wasn't, their service was fine. You know, it's a very nice, location and thing like that. But especially definitely a sports bar. But, my biggest disappointment is Ricky was talking about that twice a time a cupcake, the one you open up and it's got a Mickey inside.
Right.
Yeah. I couldn't stand in line for it, but I really wanted that one. But yeah, it seems like we ate three or four different times a day with restaurants, but yeah, I mean, you know, just gotta, I mean, because like that California Grill, you know, it hadn't been open and then suddenly it was. So I recommend listeners just keep checking. You just never know. Keep checking, things open up.
I'm with you on that twice upon a Christmas cupcake, whatever it's called, twice upon a cupcake or twice upon, I don't know, Ricky or who knows, but it's a green cupcake on the outside. But I will tell you, when I was there last weekend, it was a goal of mine to try these holiday snacks. And I saw it. There was a cast member standing outside the bakery on Main Street USA, and he had a tray that had the cupcake. Now, I don't know if the cupcake was, it probably was fake. You know, it's probably just like a dummy stuck to the tray, but he's standing there and just like taunting everybody to come in and get this cupcake. But I'm an ice cream guy. Like, you know, I love my ice cream. And the Plaza's not open right now, but I did find good ice cream back in Tomorrowland at Anti-Gravity. So I forego, you know, I gave up on the cupcake. I kind of regret it now, but I had a good brownie sundae with some vanilla.
And I think that's the problem watching, you know, listening to you and Ricky and watching DFB and all the food. I'm like, there wasn't enough time to experience all the food. So, you know, because so many neat drinks and cupcakes, I'm still going to get my peanut butter and jelly milkshake one day at prime time because have time for that. Yes. So yeah, but the great thing is it's always a reason to go back and start planning. But we are going to Aulani for a couple days in January, just because that's what's great when you need your Disney fix in Hawaii. You can get up to Aulani because they reopen that on 1 November. So
good deal. I'm glad people are going to be able to get down to Hawaii just in general. You know, I know that I heard one of the islands is kind of scaling back a little bit because of the COVID situation, but
Japanese are probably our biggest, you know, folks and they go to Aulani like crazy. I would say over 50, maybe even more are from Japan that go to Aulani. So they're not coming right now. They can, but then they have a 14-day quarantine when they go back. So they haven't really come back to the island. So, but Aulani's already busy. They're doing a lot of specials for the locals, what they call Kama'aina. So late, you know, for the locals, and it's thriving. So I saw someone on your message board that was going, and that's great. And definitely support the mouse, you know, so we don't have to lay off any more folks.
Amen to that. We're just very, very lucky to get to do what we do. We're honored to be asked to go down to Give Kids the World and work with Magical Wishes for Kids. So we're super excited for our listeners rallying together with us there. Now, let me ask you one thing before we get out of here, because you have this unique perspective. So you're traveling all the way from Hawaii to Florida. Now, I did just see in the news, as we're recording this on Monday, yesterday, that Orlando International Airport announced twice a week service from Orlando to Hawaii, nonstop.
Yeah, on Hawaiian Airlines. I know.
That's got to be a long flight.
I just got the link. Yeah, it'll probably be like 10 hours. But it's funny. I just got the link and I send it to my husband and my son. And my husband's like, oh, yeah, I saw that yesterday. And they're having a sale to tell today. And I'm like, what? And we haven't bought tickets yet. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm already looking at dates going, oh, how can we make this work? You know, but but, you know, we'll see, you know, I don't know. I think they kind of want to wait till COVID to mask. I mean, it does make it a challenge. I could never go there in the summer like you and Paige did with the wearing those during August. I think that would have killed me.
It was hot.
So, because now you can't drink water even in line. Right. You can't even pull down your mask to drink water. So if you're in line an hour and a half and you can't drink water, that's tough.
Well, I would, you know, I guess I'm a rule breaker because I would just pop it up and just take a little sip. Because
we weren't rule breakers, but you try and be good.
They'd rather have me, you know, take a little sip there. You know, I think that is one that, you know, the people not to take their masks off and, you know, stand in line and have a, you know, big gulp or something, you know, just
say. Yeah, I figure they want me to pass out or they want me to take a drink of water.
So let me ask you the last question, because you have that unique perspective coming all the way from Hawaii. You know, maybe folks are coming from, you know, Washington State, California, Arizona, you know, and obviously they don't have quite as distant to go, but I mean, it's a commitment. So what tip have you learned that helps making the travel easier? Because, you know, you guys make it sound like, you know, I'm in Missouri, like Walt Disney World's in my backyard. So what's it like for you guys? What have you learned to help out with that travel?
Well, they don't feed you on planes anymore. You know, I'm sure you know that. So for those long flights, especially those with children, make sure you bring snacks, make sure you, you know, have all that with you. Because they're, you know, they're really good about giving you, you know, wipes and stuff like that to sanitize. But, I mean, on some of the shorter flights, the 2 or 3 hour flights, they won't even give you water. I mean, they don't even get up. I mean, they're like, oh, for your safety. And I'm like, really? I kind of have water. So the only good thing is, because being in Hawaii, we've traveled a lot going back and forth, that I'm going to be a United 1K member here. So I've been getting a lot of free upgrades to first class because the planes have been pretty empty. So I'm not sure how much longer that'll last, but yeah, just it's not the normal service. And what's sad is the airfares aren't any cheaper, but you're not getting near as much service as you did.
Right.
So yes, for those with young families, please make sure, you know, like I said, you're like, you know, like you're going camping or something, because you're not going to get a lot of service that way.
All right, Catherine, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's so great talking to you out in Hawaii. And I got to say this before we get out of here, I love talking to other great Disney fans. This has been so much fun, but thank you for your service to the country. I know your husband, yourself, and I know that your son works in law enforcement, and you know, those who serve the rest of us, especially here in 2020, we need to make sure we stop and say thank you. And you know, on behalf of my family, please thank you for all you've done for us.
I appreciate it. And thank you for everything that you guys do and keeping me to, you know, keep dreaming of my next trip and stuff. So it's awesome. Keeps me going. Get listened to everywhere. Trust me, from driving from to Oklahoma to Hawaii, everywhere. You've been listened to all over the world. So
that is amazing. I never thought it would go past my basement. So there you go. Thanks again. Thanks again, Catherine. I sure appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All right. That's going to do it for today's podcast. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our great friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to head to your next Disney destination, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even Adventures by Disney, those places are going to get back open here very soon. We want to take great care of you for no cost to you. Drop by themagicforless.com, check out all the great trip planning tools on their site. And while you're there, fill out the free, no obligation quote form, and an agent will get back to you right away, and you'll be planning an amazing Disney adventure. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link as you do your shopping this holiday season. It's a free way to support the show. We really appreciate it. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And finally, a huge shout out to our patrons. You guys are amazing. You're awesome. You're carrying the show while travel is down just a bit, and I appreciate that so very much. If you'd like some extra content in your week, like Mike in the Midwest every Thursday, just visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike and at BRGuestPod. And of course, subscribe to the show over on Facebook or YouTube. Just search for the Be Our Guest podcast. Until we get together again on Wednesday for more of your listener questions, I'm Mike. For Catherine, I wish you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BRGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.